everybody. This is Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with a couple of the guys from the band Squint, based out of St. Louis. We have vocalist Brennan Wilkinson and guitarist Ian O'Leary. How you guys doing?
What's up?
Great.
Hell yeah. You guys been keeping busy out there playing shows and everything?
Yeah. We've been kind of chilling out for now, getting ready to hit the road for we're heading out to Europe in about a month. So we've been kind of laying low now and just, you know, spending our time with our family, getting our finances straight, you know, all that. But we got a lot planned and we've had a lot, you know, happen already this year. So, yeah, we've been hitting the road a little bit, playing a couple local gigs, not too many. So,
right. Road dogging it, huh? Keeping busy.
Yeah. You know, you got to, if you got an excuse to see the country, you got to do it. So.
Right on. So before you hopped on, Brennan, me and Ian were talking about we were talking about all the different subgenres in metal music and how I love metal music. I love rock music, but I'm clueless when it comes to the insert name core kind of music, like terms, you know what I mean? So you said that you're the historian about that stuff. So can you guys describe what Squint is and what it would fall into and maybe the elements that make it that kind of genre?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those hard things to put a finger on. I grew up very involved in the hardcore, you know. That's pretty much been my little home within music. So every band I do, pretty much, I consider, you know, a hardcore band. So there's not a whole ton of, like, you know, like, we're not the most traditional, like, sonically hardcore band. Yeah, it's just, sorry, I kind of lost where I was for a second, but,
you're fine.
It's definitely not traditional straight up hardcore music. I just knocked a soda over.
You're fine, man.
Yeah, it's a really, really hard question for me to answer. So, no, traditionally, you know, hardcore punk music is going to be a little bit like faster and stuff like that. I definitely think we take those elements from it. We take the aggression from it. There may not be, you know, we definitely add a lot more melody and a lot more pop sensibility to what we do. But there's not really a whole lot of thought that goes into the sound that Squint has, you know. A lot of it, like I said, we kind of grown up with our identity placed within hardcore music, so it's easy to just throw that label on it. Hopefully that's answering the question. Sorry, I'm over here wiping up the soda.
No, you're fine. But yeah, no, like that answers it. And I also, just from my opinion listening to you guys, I kind of pick up almost like an element of like punk. Is there any truth to that too?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely the realm of hardcore that I grew up involved in is more kind of by way of punk than by way of metal, you know. Definitely, yeah. Like, you know, stuff that probably stems more in like the kind of like Black Flag kind of world of things, as opposed to, you know, like Metallica or something like that, you know. So it's definitely way under, you know, way down there in the DNA, and just also the attitude in which we do it, you know.
Yeah,
were you gonna say something, Ian?
Yeah, I think punk definitely makes sense. Like I listened to a lot of pop punk growing up, you know, like,
hell yeah.
You know, so I kind of deviated. Like, obviously hardcore bands were popping when I was younger, and I knew about them, but I just kind of like got more drawn into like the melody aspect of music. And like, there's a lot of melody in hardcore for sure. But like, you know, I was more into like metalcore and pop punk and, you know, pop rock. And then, you know, some weird, like, I don't know, heavier bands like the Chariot, which I guess is like metalcore and stuff, but like, you know, I don't like defining genres, you know. It's right. Like, you know, you hear a lot of like term hardcore adjacent now, which is like, you know, if anybody really talks about us in the scene, I feel like we get thrown into the hardcore Jason category, which is totally fine. Like, I don't really care.
You know, kind of by definition, what it is.
Yeah.
I grew up, like I was saying, more involved in the hardcore scene and like proud to be. So how Ian's saying he doesn't really like the genres and labels as much, I kind of grew up the opposite, being like, I'm proud to be involved in this, you know? So Squint is probably the most outlying or most like kind of experimental stuff I've done in regards to hardcore. But I personally do find it also like, I still want to make sure I have that, you know, not label on it, but almost like a point of pride, you know, where if people are like, wow, this is really cool music, I don't know what this is, I can tell them this is hardcore music, you know, even though it may not be the most quintessential term of it. It's like, you know, when you got a bunch of people who come from hardcore playing music, it's easy just to say whatever, it's hardcore music, you know, so.
Right. And I do think like nowadays, especially, I think the blurring of the genres like makes it to almost like you don't even have to put a label on it. You know what I mean? Like if you don't have to, you know what I mean?
Which, I totally agree with. And just on a personal standpoint, there is some part of me that's like, I don't have to put a label on it. That's why I'm letting you know, where I stand as far as like where you should put us as far as, you know. Because ethically, you know, and like, maybe not ethically, but, you know, just the way we carry ourselves and the way our live show is, it's pretty hard to deny that it's, you know, more in the hardcore realm than it is like in the poppy realm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Like you definitely got to watch your back at a Squint show. Not in a bad way, but, you know.
Gets a little rowdy. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So speaking of live show, and I'd imagine at a show like Squint's, it would be pretty intense in the best way possible. How would you guys, as being on stage during the show, how would you describe your live show to someone who hasn't been there?
Fun, dangerous, but not violent, you know? there's no maliciousness or anything like that, you know, but there is people, you know, ideally, you know, just completely unabashedly enjoying themselves, you know, without any regard for themselves. And me encouraging that usually. And then just all of us having fun too, you know, we all have a lot of fun when we play. We're not a very uptight band, in the sense that, like, if one of us messes up or one of us, you know, is getting a little into it and maybe it's, you know, they're messing up, but if there's a good reason for it, you know, we're all kind of able to pick up on it and, you know, ride that wave with them. You know what I mean? Like, we all just kind of, you know, if we all hiccup together, then nobody notices the hiccup, you know, kind of thing. So
yeah,
we're very good at that and just sensing each other and also just being able to read the room, because when there's that much energy and sometimes chaos in a room, you know, shit happens, you know, like, you know, your guitar is gonna get run into by a kid or you're gonna get kicked in the head while you're, you know, stuff like that. So we're pretty forgiving of each other and forgiving of just the live experience, you know. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'd say it's just like high energy and loose, like, you know, it's I don't, like a kid fucking moshed across a room one time and knocked my entire like cabin head over, you know, like, and I thought that was the sickest thing ever, because it was just like yo, he had no clue what was going on, he was just like feeling himself, you know. And it's just like, that's kind of how we play too, you know. I've been in bands that are like obsessed with being as tight as possible, and like I'm just trying to get out of that. Like, I just fucking have fun, my shit's probably gonna break at some point, it always does. You know, and then like the longer we play together, the more we like add little fun, like extra parts or build ups into beginnings of songs and stuff. And we just, you know, just keep it loose, like keep it like a rock and roll show with real amps and, you know, no backtracking, none of that bullshit. So, yeah,
right on. So, backing up a bit, just so people get a little familiar with how you guys started, I guess just simply like, how did you guys form? How did you guys meet? The start Squint.
Ian and I actually were the two that kind of got the wheels in motion, you know. We've all known each other just through the music scene for quite a while, like in varying degrees. There was also a coffee company here that we've all worked for across various points of the timeline, so we all know each other from that. Like Ian used to be my boss. Like whenever, you know, corporate would come in and all your staff would get uptight at the job, that was Ian for me. So it's funny to be in a band with him now and, you know, not fear him anymore.
Maddie, can you put him outside?
I was like, can you hear me over Bernie? But,
that's funny.
Yo, did you hear me just yell?
But yeah, we...
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yo, he's losing.
You hear me?
There's probably a fucking cat outside or something. My dog is like, he's been chilling all day for like 8 or 9 hours. So now he's like, he's ready to go. You know what I mean? Like, sorry.
No, that was gold. All right. I love that.
This video call is like a perfect metaphor for the live set. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's things happening, like soda spilling or dogs barking. And you just gotta keep it rolling and you gotta, But yeah, Ian and I, we've all, like I said, we've all known each other from working for that coffee company. Ian, I was just saying how you basically used to be my boss and how I used to get scared when you came into my job. So
that's funny because I'm like the least intimidating motherfucker on the planet. Like,
well, yeah, with you,
only to your dog.
Yeah.
No, I agree now.
Oh, no, yeah, it was sick. I didn't, but kind of drop. Yeah, right, he agrees now. I don't know if Brennan said this, but probably not because it would be really conceited. But I used to see Brennan in his like old bands, like Out of Time, Soulcraft, and I've probably said this to Brennan before. I hope so, but like he literally is like probably my favorite vocalist in St. Louis, or was, still is. And every time I saw Out of Time or Soulcraft, I'd just be like, he'd steal the show. And so it was like, yeah, when we saw in that Farmer's Market and like my other band was kind of falling apart and not really falling apart, just not doing anything. And, yeah, I had some demos and sent them to him. He recorded them in like a fucking Lowe's parking lot and, on his phone and sent them back, and it was sick. And so, yeah, it just all worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, I ran into Ian one day at the farmer's market, and we talked demos, like he just said, and, you know, he wanted to do a band, and I'd always wanted to do one, but, you know, he's kind of sat more in, like, the pop-punky kind of realm of stuff, and I've been more in the hardcore realm of things, and so, you know, when we were talking, though, and he was talking about these demos, and I was like, you know, send them over, and I had some bands in mind, like... early on, we always cited bands like Rites of Spring and like Turning Point, bands like 90s kind of more melodic hardcore punk bands that, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of put the bug in my head that was like, maybe, you know, the poppier stuff can mix with the yellier stuff, you know? So like Ian said, he sent those demos over and yeah, I was living in a studio apartment at the time, so I couldn't record vocals in the house. So there was like a Lowe's down the street Ian was talking about. I went in the parking lot at like 2 a.m. with my lyric sheet and real quick just recorded my vocals like echoing through the parking lot, you know, people like, you know, probably hearing me from across the, you know, the way. But yeah, sent them over to Ian. He liked them. And then we just started building the band around that, basically just doing like a, in our eyes, like a super group of people we'd been in bands with prior, you know? So,
yeah.
Ian's been in a band with Dave, our other guitarist, for, I don't know, since you guys were teenagers, right, Ian?
Yeah. We were in like a pop punk band and like a, again, almost like Title Fight worship band. But yeah, since we were like early 20s, probably.
And then Jake, our bassist, is the guy who got me into music. I met him when I was in seventh grade. And he was in eighth. So he's been just through with me through like all of my bands that I've done. And then Will, our drummer, I met him and I played in a band with him when I was probably 16, 17. And for the longest time, he had just been, you know, he hadn't played in a hardcore band in quite some time. He's played in a lot of local kind of like more like indie, you know, alt rock kind of bands and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it was exciting to get him ripping the skins again and, you know, like just playing fast music like that. And he's been having a lot of fun with that too. So, yeah, that's pretty much how the five of us got in a room together to all start doing it. And that was, I don't know, about 3 years ago, I guess. Okay. This fall, 3 years ago this fall, something like that.
Yeah.
And we, since then we've just been going, 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 you know.
It's awesome. So, how would you guys, how was the scene in St. Louis? Cause I'm unfamiliar with it. I'm just curious that, cause you always hear about the Texas scene and like the music coming out of Nashville, of course, stuff like that. But I feel like I'm not familiar with, and I feel like other people who listen to might not be familiar with what the music scene was like in St. Louis.
It's, for the longest time, it was very small, but very tight knit, you know, mm-hmm. There would only be maybe 30 to 40 people at a show, but you would know who was going to be there. There was always at least 30 to 40 people that, you know, were almost guaranteed to always be there. And now those numbers are growing like crazy, you know. We've played all local shows in St. Louis that have had 400 to 500 people at them. Okay. And you know, but there's still those core people, you know, shout out to them. I don't want to disparage, you know, there's been a huge influx of people coming in, which is awesome. But obviously, you know, shout out to all the people that have been there through the thick and the thin with all of us. But, you know, there's a lot of really cool bands out doing it. You know, there's a lot of people doing it for the right reasons. A lot of, you know, we travel a lot, so we see a lot of venues across the country. And it really highlights how special a lot of the stuff we have here in St. Louis is when we get home. You know, the fact that when we're out on the road, we see these venues that are screwing these kids over who have the greatest intentions, you know, but are just being stifled by like having to pay huge overheads for rooms and stuff like that. So there's venues here in St. Louis, like Sinkhole and Platypus and stuff that, you know, let kids book there for free just in the interest of community, in the interest of hardcore and punk. Yep. So there's people of, you know, all ages, whether it's like young kids coming to the scene, like coming to the shows who are like, you know, 16 and 17, like making zines and doing things like that, putting, you know, putting information out there, starting bands, making demos, or there's like the other end of the spectrum where there's 40 and 50 year old people coming out and making things happen from their end, you know, understanding that they're old punk rockers and not letting that, you know, be an not letting that be an excuse to be inactive, but understand that, you know, like, hey, I'm older. I can help these young kids with my position, you know, and like make venues for them and make safe spaces for them and, you know, encourage them to make music and stuff like that. So, it's truly like a community, you know, mm-hmm. And, I guess going back also for a long time, St. Louis was, when I was younger, was notoriously violent, you know, kind of how I said earlier, squint shows can be dangerous, but they're not violent. It used to be kind of the exact opposite in the hardcore scene. And so like from a personal level, it means a lot for me to see the state that St. Louis is at and like, you know, the community and people bringing each other up and, you know, fulfilling what hardcore and punk should be about, which is, you know, giving young people a voice as opposed to, you know, its past where, you know, it had such a history of like violence and almost gang like activity and stuff like that. You know, it's definitely in the best state it's ever been.
Right. So yeah, that's good to hear, man. And especially the part about it being more of a community, because you have like you hear most of the time artists will say like, oh, it's like a community, like, and all that. But like, also like, I'm curious, and I'd like your guys' opinion on it too. Is there more of a community, like we'll help each other out, element to it? Or is what about the, like camaraderie or competition, like camaraderie versus competition? Is there, is there parts? No, go ahead. You can explain.
It's probably my internet. It's just like things are cutting in and out. So bits and pieces of questions. I think there's definitely a shitload of camaraderie in St. Louis. Like what Brennan was saying earlier, like the people going out consistently, the shows aren't just kind of like random fans. It's like a lot of like people in bands, like supporting other bands. You know, I don't think there's a ton of like competition. I think at the end of the day, there's going to be competition, right? Like everybody wants to be bigger. Yeah. Everybody wants to draw more people. So, but it's not like to a detriment to anyone else. You know, if anything, it's to help the other bands that aren't as big, you know?
If anything, we could use a little more competition. Like everybody's so supportive of each other. It's like, you know,
push each other a little harder. You know, it's that Midwestern.
Yeah. Like, you know, But yeah, you know, there is a lot of hospitality within our scene, which is nice. And, you know, when out of town bands come through, everybody's accommodating and, you know, there's not local kids coming up and going, you know, why didn't I get more money from the show, or, you know, like local bands and stuff like that. A lot of times, you know, if a lot of these, you know, like I said, a lot of the older people are used to being 30, 40 people at a show, you know, you're not, as a local, you're probably not getting paid. So, you know, a lot of people just have the mentality of just doing it for the community, doing it for the touring band, because ideally, you know, and in a world like hardcore, you will be in that situation in the future yourself, you know? So, a lot of it's, you know, it's not about money. It's more about networking. It's more about community. And, you know, even in like a selfish kind of way, like it's like, you know, I'm going to get to know this guy so he can help me out later on down the road. But, you know, maybe I don't need $50 gas money for this show tonight. I'd rather them have it, you know, since they're 300 miles from home or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that's a great thing to hear. So also with you guys at your current stance of where the band is, and I believe you say 3 years you guys have been going.
Yeah,
maybe we formed like 3 years ago. We started, I mean, we took it serious. Like our first release was in 2022, I think, like like April or something, maybe.
Yeah, that's when the first song came out. So
yeah. So I want to say like October 21, probably.
Gotcha. So have you guys along that time frame, have you guys had like an oh shit moment? Like did something happen, or did you reach a certain accomplishment for your guys' band where you're like, oh shit, like we're actually doing this? Anything like that ever happened?
So many things, I would say, for school.
Yeah.
Especially out of the gate, you know, like so much shit. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Brennan, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, same thing. You know, it's just, yeah, I've done a lot of bands for a long time with the understanding that I'm not going to get a whole lot out of this, you know, like definitely not financially and probably not even like, you know, I was in a band for Ian mentioned earlier called Out of Time that toured for probably like 5 or 6 years. And now it's hard to even find the music. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to even find the music online or anything. So, you know, a lot of times you're doing this for, you know, the moment and not for longevity or for a career or anything like that. So the fact that so many people have been paying attention to Squint, you know, I've never had a band that this many people have had eyes on or has meant anything to this many people. So that's very awesome. And, it's also just, you know, allowed for a lot more freedom with the band. Like, we're all older. If we, you know, if Squint was like a total money pit, like other bands I was in when I was younger were, it might, we might not be, you know, still doing stuff if, you know, we had just been, you know, it's harder to dump money into things when you get older, you know, and just have no yeah. return or anything like that. So the fact that Squint's becoming something that can sustain itself and we're able to make music without, you know, it affecting our personal lives or it affecting our families, it makes me feel extremely lucky, you know, and extremely grateful. And just also to have something that we can, like I said, use and, you know, have a reason to travel, have a reason to see the country, and have a reason to connect, you know, with people when we do so. It's super exciting. And it's, you know, we've begun dropping new singles for our new record coming out. So the numbers, you know, are going back up, and it's, you know, exciting to see. It's exciting to see all the engagement and see all the people that are taking notice and all the new people we're pulling in and, you know, bringing along for the ride. So yeah, we're definitely super grateful, everybody in the band.
Yeah. I mean, going to Europe for 3 weeks is like, that's insane. Like that doesn't make, that still doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
yeah,
the fact that, you know, a booking agent over there reached out to us and was like, you know, let me help you. And it's just like, what? Like, you know, that was like the big one. I mean, recording the record with like John Markson, like, again, I didn't even expect him to fucking respond to an email, you know, considering right. how busy he is and how many huge name artists he works with, you know? So the fact that he gave us a chance to go out there and, you know, cut a record with him and work together was defining. So it's just like, I don't know. I mean, being in bands that my old bands didn't do nothing. Like we did cool things, but like, to see what Squint has, you know, kind of accomplished in the short amount of time we've been around, it's like pretty mind blowing to me. And it's like, you know, hopefully we're just getting started. You know, I'm really excited for this record. I think it's going to be cool. So we'll see what happens. But
yeah, well, I guess now that we're on the topic, can you tell us anything about the record coming out? What we can expect from it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like, think we're, you know, our label's fucking rad. So shout out Sunday Drive Records.
Shout out.
the goat. Yeah. Yeah.
Jonathan. But yeah, I mean, we're basically, by the time this comes out, everything will be announced. So it doesn't really matter. But yeah, we, you know, we got some singles coming out and the record should come out October 24th, I believe. But that all gets announced next Monday. So.
But yeah, we went out and recorded it last November. We went out to the Animal Farm in New Jersey, which is like a animal rescue farm / recording studio / Airbnb for the bands to crash at. So
nice.
It was pretty cool. We, you know, basically slept in the, not in the studio room, obviously, but, you know, we were one, you know, a wall away from the studio the entire time. So it was nice to not have to, you know, wake up every morning, drive to a studio, sit in a cramped little space all day. You know, we were chilling on the farm with the animals and playing Nintendo 64 and drinking coffee, making food. And
yeah.
Pop in the studio and record a riff or, you know, do a vocal take. And it was a very, very fun atmosphere and very, you know, chill environment. And it honestly, it felt like being at, you know, Boy Scout camp or something too. And it was a real cool feeling every night to get there to, you know, lay in my little, you know, dorm room type thing and think about the fact that, you know, I'm playing in a hardcore band across the country, recording a full length record and, you know, just surreal feeling, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say surreal. Like it was, I mean, it was in November in like New Jersey and it reminded me of, I mean, it was beautiful. It was absolutely yeah. beautiful. So it was like the peak of fall and, you know, it was perfect weather outside. And every morning there was a fucking like flock of chickens that would come up to the studio door and just chill and stare at you, you know? And like there were two rescue cows that you could go chill with whenever, like, you know, you're getting upset because you couldn't like cut a take. Well, you know, go talk to the cows for a second. But
go talk to the
yeah,
cows.
Yeah, like there's geese running around and shit. I mean, it was like, Yeah, it was awesome. Like, it was what you want when you want to really get down and dirty with like a record and like really hone in on what you're doing, you know, and have no distractions outside of each other. But it was awesome.
Yeah, I'd imagine, like, assuming it was just mainly like you guys in the band and maybe someone helping you like record and stuff, I'm sure the creative juices are probably flowing like constantly, right? Like, instead of being like at your house or something like that.
Yeah.
That, and there's so many toys to play with and so many cool little things we have on the record, just from like, you know, Will talking to John, the, you know, producer, being like, I really want something here to, you know, kind of give it that, you know, and John's just like, I hear you, man. You know, they're not even using full sentences and stuff. And he pulls out some instrument I've never seen before, and they start getting takes of, you know, or they're being like, what if we wrap this in aluminum foil and we hit it with a stick, you know, and stuff like that. Just experimenting with sounds and also just having fun. And shout out to our engineer, Rob, who put up with a lot of a lot of stuff we didn't use that we were just like, what if we used like a robot voice on this part? Or what if we did a bongo here, you know?
We cut a song that, like, and by cut it, I mean, we didn't put it on the record. Like, we got to guitars, I think, you know, like everything was pretty much done. And we spent so much time on some fucking like goofball ass intro to that song, which was like Will's master. Like, it was just like, he had this like crazy idea and like we ran with it and it was really cool. And, we did so much weird shit. Like I wish I could describe it better. Like, Will could totally describe it, but we spent hours on that and then ended up being like, this song doesn't have the vibe, you know, like we'll put it on the B side,
you know. But it was nice to, you know, explore every avenue and, you know, go down every hallway and know, you know, all right, well, this wasn't it for the song, you know, and just any kind of potential idea we could have, you know, there was something in that studio to achieve that sound, you know. So I probably dealt with it the least as the vocalist, just because I don't use a whole lot of effects or pedals or anything like that. And even I felt like, you know, a kid in a candy store kind of thing. So they've just got, it's like an old, you know, cabin just filled with $5 million worth of old amps and stuff like that.
Insane amount of gear.
Suitcases just full of pedals, and they're just, you know, digging through them like, no, not that one, here we go, you know.
Just like the live room was like the loft of the barn. Obviously it was all enclosed and, you know, it's not bales of hay and shit up there, but like I could have spent 2 weeks figuring out what guitar tone I wanted because of all the amps and caps, you know. We didn't have that time. We cut it quick, you know. We 11 days, I think. And
I think less than that.
We started early and we finished, or started late and finished early. We went in incredibly prepared. So like I do a lot of demos on my computer, but I don't do any live tracking, but we live tracked all our demos, before that. And then, I mean, it was really fucking prepared to cut a record, but still, I wish we would have spent more time. Like, I would have loved to get down and dirty with more stuff, you know. So next time, when the budget's bigger, next time, that's the plan, you know.
Right on. So it's safe to say that this record's probably going to be like more experimental, a little bit farther out than the other stuff you've done, or what do you think?
I don't think so. No,
A little side real quick. I'd been living in a studio apartment for the last 5 or 6 years, like I had said earlier. And just in February, I moved into a 2-bedroom house. And I really feel like this house is me, you know, and it's not any different than my studio apartment, but all my stuff fits better, you know, and everything's got a place. And that's how I feel about the LP, you know. It's like,
okay,
it's just more of Squint, but everything has more room to breathe and kind of more room to kind of explore that little, you know, we've just got more time to work with, more length across the track. You know, we're about to put out, you know, a 10 song LP from a band that only has 9 songs, you know, so we're essentially about to double our catalog. And It just gives us that opportunity to really just, yeah, kind of, you know, not so much explore, you know, it's not that we're not exploring new territory, but, you know, if you like the old Squint stuff, you will definitely still like the new Squint stuff a lot. It's not, you know, so much a change from what we were doing as much as just a natural evolution and, yeah, you know, maturation of our sound. So
it's just like tightening, you know, it's just like you keep tightening the bolts, you keep learning to what fat to cut. And yeah, it's just, yeah, it's Squint for sure. Without a doubt. And it's definitely not like a different sound by any means, but it's,
no, it's the most Squint, yeah, you know, yet obviously, yeah, you know, there's every part on the record is something exciting, I feel, which is, awesome. You know, this is the first band that I've ever done on full length with. I've mostly done, you know, 7 inches, EPs, stuff like that in the past with other bands. So this is the first band that I've had to really think about the album concept as a whole, or the, you know, the idea of an LP. And it's made me start to look at a bunch of these other records that I hold so highly and I love. And, you know, there's a lot of records that might be one of my favorite records in the world, but if I'm honest with myself, I can still find little bits of the record that I'm like, they maybe didn't need this, you know, this song maybe didn't need to have a third, fourth chorus, you know?
Right.
And one thing I love about this LP is I feel like every moment of it is exciting. Every moment of it's necessary. And there's not a part of it that's unnecessary, you know? I think you can tell with the single we just dropped, Magic, you know, it's a short song, but it's also, it's done before you realize it. And it's got a lot of replayability for that reason, you know, it's, we may only give you that riff one time or something, and you want more of it. So you got to go back and listen, but you know, it's all consciously done not to, you know, make it drag on or anything like that. And you know, everything serves the song, so.
Yeah, I think it's like,
I quite literally, go ahead, Ian, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I love talking about music.
go ahead.
No, yeah, I think about the record a lot, and everyone's like settling into like their place, you know? It's like, and getting more comfortable with their parts and like what they want to get across as their parts. Like, that's what I love about Squint is like, it's like Brennan has a particular style and like swag to his like vocals, which is just so sick. And then Will, like, his drumming is so fucking recognizable. Like he's like, he can be a pocket drummer, but he's not a pocket drummer when it comes to Squint. He's like all over the place, but still like there, you know? It's like it's loose, but it's fun to listen to. It's high energy. It keeps you interested, you know? And then, yeah, I mean, it's just everybody's just kind of like bringing their own style to it, and it's all working. It doesn't sound like, nothing sounds too perfect, or nothing sounds like someone's playing someone else's parts or some shit. Like, everybody's got their own thing going on. That's what I love about it. And that's what I think's like getting tighter the more we record and play together.
Yeah. And Brennan, you mentioned the term natural evolution, I think you said. So like, I think with bands, like, that's kind of what sets apart the good from like the great, because like the ones who can progress like that, without you even like knowing, but in the best way, you know what I mean? Like you said, tightening the bolts. So like over time, it just gets tighter and tighter and tighter. Like, I feel like that's definitely what separates like the ones who have the juice and the ones who don't have the juice, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, naturally, it's one of those things that kind of should happen, you know, if you're playing, if you're going and doing like a 30-day tour and you're not better by the end of it than you are by the beginning, then you should probably just play with other people, you know,
like, right.
You know, that kind of stuff should come just from repetition, but it also, the more comfortable you get with your songs and the more comfortable you get with the people you're writing with, you know, that kind of thing becomes second nature. You know, you don't really even need to think about, is this going to be tight? Is this going to be, you know, like, that's one thing I'm grateful for with Squint is everybody is, and I think it's pretty much what Ian's saying also, is just, you know, everybody's so good at what they do and good in their own individual department that you don't have to worry about a thing. You know, I'm never on stage going, I hope Dave hits this note, or I hope Will doesn't flub this fill. I'm just worried about myself because I know that, you know, my bandmates are going to hold down their department, no problem, you know? And so it really gives me like the chance to kind of, yeah, focus on my 20% of the band and focus on trying to make sure everything I'm doing is dialed in and perfect. And yeah, we have the trust for each other, you know, knowing that everybody's going to do just that, hold down their 20%.
And if they give it, and if they don't, they're getting fucking ripped on afterwards.
You gotta have that.
Yeah. 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 Know what it's safe.
Yeah.
But that has to be an awesome feeling though, knowing that you guys have gelled so much that you don't have to worry about each other like slacking off or dragging or anything like that. Like that has to be a great feeling as an artist.
Yeah. And it's one of those things too, where there's like, yeah, there's a trust, you know, if Ian is like doing some weird shit, playing the note real weird, you know, or something, I gotta trust that he's doing his thing. He's
pull just it off.
That's the first mistake. Trust in me.
You know.
So I guess let's talk a bit about your shows and everything. Do you guys have any bucket list venues? I'm always interested to know if there's like artists, like places they want to play and shit. Any bucket list places you want to go?
Just probably like little things I saw growing up, like Chain Reaction in LA, or like the First Unitarian Church in Philly, festivals, you know, like I got into hardcore proper pretty much, you know. I pretty much consider myself diving in 2008. And in 2009, I went out to a festival called Sound and Fury that, you know, when I went, there was probably 800 people in a room, and it was the craziest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And now there's like 8,000 people who attended every year or something, and it's, I would love to play that. Just, you know, anything that's kind of like the full circle moments where I can, you know, look out and see a young kid and think back to when I was a young kid in that same room, or you know, a little kid watching Bury Your Dead live at Chain Reaction DVD in my basement or something like that, you know, like all these old, you know, defining venues that are still around and stuff like that. But for the most part, if there's anywhere that we want to play within our means, we do it, you know. Like most of the venues in the Midwest that we play are awesome. And you know, our favorite venue to play in the entire country is 45 minutes away from us. So, you know, it's when you got the best in your backyard, why leave, kind of thing. But
yeah, I hear you.
Shout out Dumb Records in Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah. I guess I should have said the name, but yeah. Springfield.
Shout out.
Yeah. I personally, like what Brennan said, you know, like Chain Reaction would be absolutely sick. That's like such an iconic venue. But more so like local for me, like I would love to like sell out like the Duck Room, which is kind of like a probably 300, 400 cap. Like that would be pretty awesome in my mind.
I feel like I've heard of that one.
It's
from someone.
It's iconic. I feel like I've heard of that. I mean, it's a old school blues venue. It's in the basement of, it's called Blueberry Hill. It's where Chuck Berry would play like weekly.
Okay.
So it's got a lot of history, and like it's cool to see them booking kind of more aggressive shows lately. So that
it's got a good stage for the young divers. Yeah. So
yeah. There's a bar.
It's got my stamp of approval.
So I think that would be pretty cool. But I'm here for it all, you know. Whatever. Like the cool the smaller venues that we play are lucky enough to play, like Dumb Records in Springfield, and you know, that bar I can't remember in Cincinnati.
Yeah, do you remember that, Brennan? He was talking about that with me before you hopped on. We were trying to figure out what bar in Cincy you might have played at. That's where I'm from.
The first one.
So I was wondering.
Legend or not, we played Legends, but that wasn't the bar.
That was the bigger one. I couldn't remember. It wasn't Bogart's.
Okay. Yeah, that was the bigger club. Shanty Town, maybe, or something like that.
Okay. I feel like I might know what you're talking about. Like,
maybe I'm getting it mixed up with a different bar, but it's called The Hub.
Yeah.
The Hub.
I think it was The Hub.
I think I know what street it is too, because Ian said that it was street. Like a shotgun. Yeah. Yeah. I got boozed up on that street many times.
Yeah, we played with Sign Language, our label mates. They're from they're from there, and they're awesome. Yeah. So shout out to
them.
They
packed it out, and it was like a lot of energy, a lot of fun. So, any and all venues are rad as long as people are having a good time and they come out, you know.
Absolutely. And shout out to Kings Island, too.
Oh, yeah. Love Kings Island. Love Kings Island. Oh, man. But, thank you guys for hopping on. This is a good conversation. You guys are great. I love your shit. I'm telling you, I was telling Ian before you hopped on, Brennan, that I'm struggling to find like new bands in the rock world. And that's a huge umbrella to put bands under, just rock. But like, that's the hard part, because you got to go through all the different kinds of rock. And you guys popped out to me right away. And like, it was some good shit. And like you said, with Magic, your single that just came out, like you said, I just kept replaying it. Like, it was one of those ones that you could just keep listening to it over and over again, and it rocked. And I'm excited to see what you guys have up your sleeve with this record. I'm super hyped for it. So if you guys, we hit on it earlier, but if you guys want to tell everyone like when the record's coming out again, this should be out before it actually comes out. So they'll be able to, you know, be hip to it.
Yeah, I think like Ian said, October 24th, 25th. Something like that. The record will be out in full. We'll be dropping singles until then. So we've got another one coming out. I guess depending on when this drops, I shouldn't say coming up, but
it's on.
That's
check out Pack Rat. Yeah. That probably just came out.
If you haven't already.
If it hasn't come out already, Sunshine is right around the corner. Yeah, we got a bunch of singles coming for you, and they're all, you know, unique in their own way too. So if you've fallen in love with the song Magic, I'm happy for you. But there's going to be some slight tweaks in the other ones, and you know, if you heard Magic and you thought, oh man, I really like this, but it's not quite what I want, then keep an ear to the ground, because we got more coming for you, and I'm sure we'll find something that will tickle your fancy.
Yeah, the record's like it's like the Sopranos, you know what I mean? Like, I'm watching the Sopranos right now. It's like that family, you know? It's like they're dysfunctional, and like they're mad at each other all the time, but then they get together for like Sunday dinner, you know, and they talk it out. So it's like each song, I feel like, it's got its own feeling and vibe, but they all work together. So
yeah. God, you guys are full of good analogies today. You're saying The Sopranos. You're saying about your apartment. Yeah. Like, damn.
No one ever asks us any questions, so we're usually just talking to ourselves in the shower. You know what I mean? So,
well, you guys could hop on here anytime you want and shoot the shit. Yeah. We could talk whenever you guys want. So, also, before you head out, if you guys want to throw out where people could find you on social media, your website, anything like that, the floor is yours.
Instagram, Twitter. Pretty much everything. It's just Squint STL. We're on, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, anything you want to listen to music on, it's probably on there. Again, shout out to Sunday Drive Records. They handle all of that. So they've got us on streaming services I've never even heard of. So that's pretty dope. You know, check out some YouTube videos if you want to see the live vibe before you commit to it. But, you know, if it looks a little rowdy and you still want to come to a Squint show, just pull me aside before the set and I'll make sure you stay safe. And then, yeah, just keep an eye on Sunday Drive Records. Our singles will be dropping through them and through their social media, as well as ours, obviously. But, they are constantly putting out good music. They've got a ton of good records coming out this year. So if you follow them, you'll keep up with us and then also have a ton of cool new guitar music to check out like you had wanted. So That would be right my on. Suggestion, Sam. Start with Sunday Drive Records.
Yeah.
Right on. Hell yeah. Thanks, boys, for hopping on. I appreciate it. And everyone, you heard them. Go follow them. Go listen to their music. Also, while you're at it, check us out at RageRowdy.com. We're on all the socials, Rowdy Alternative. Just Google us. It's easier that way. So, and I don't have to remember all the fucking names of it. So that's not very professional of me, but I don't care. So anyway, thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you guys, Ian and Brennan, for taking the time to do this. And we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Make a mess of this simple